It's going to sound like a grumpy old man hollering at people to get off my lawn. It's going to sound like I'm delving into political areas that are best not to delve into. It's going to sound at times like we're just kind of chasing rabbits and maybe getting into the weeds. The things that I want to talk about today are things that have been happening that are getting closer and closer to an idolatrous society that I think we need to be on guard against. Our young ones within the school and our parents as they send the young ones there and just us in general. I don't feel like this is a political commentary. I think that our politicians on both sides of the aisle are equally incompetent and sometimes equally evil. I'm not doing that. What I do want to point out is that the Bible is relevant today. And when we see commands and warnings within the Scripture against certain types of behavior, they apply to us today. And sometimes we see things happening and they're almost overwhelming. When I was a kid, I got involved in a competition in the neighborhood. It was kind of a rock and stick fight, actually. And somebody threw a rock and it hit a beehive near a log that I was standing near. And the bees rose up. And I was the closest one there. And they swarmed me. And until I got away from those bees, I could not do anything else. My parents came out to greet me from the front porch because they heard my screams from a block away. And they came out to see what was going on. And I'm sure they knew in their hearts that it was one of their children and they had an idea which child it would be. And I got there and they were able to get my shirt off and kill as many of the bees as they could. But I can tell you, until the bee swarm was over, I couldn't focus on anything else. What I want to tell you today is I believe there is a bee swarm going on right now from so many different directions that if we're not careful, we'll just spend all of our time swatting bees and we won't catch the things that are going on that we need to be attentive to. I mentioned on Wednesday night three verses, and I want to look at those three verses again this morning, as well as some other verses. But then I encouraged you to look at two websites. One was the World Economic Forum, and if you have a chance, I would look at that. And the other is the United Nations. And look at their Agenda 2030. I'm not asking you to look at anybody's commentary on these things. That's completely up to you. I'm just saying go and look and see what their plans are. Because in the United Nations, they have passed something called the Agenda 2030 that out of the 192 member nations, including America, 192 nations have signed on to saying we are going to do everything we can to get these things implemented by 2030. It's a 17-point plan. They very carefully put this plan together. They took 5 million surveys or a little more, and they found out what people's concerns were, and they constructed a 17-point plan around those things. And they said, these are from the people. And they talked about all sorts of good things, from reducing poverty to reducing hunger to taking care of the environment, things that we all would say, yeah, that's a good thing. But then when you dig down into it and find out how they're planning on doing it, you realize the way they're planning on doing it is by simple things like getting rid of carbon, like getting rid of cattle, like stopping the use of natural gas, which is the cleanest fuel that we have other than possibly nuclear fuel. It's been used for years. They were talking about the World Economic Forum just not too long ago, how they had effectively reduced the use of natural gas in fertilizers in Europe. They said 70% of the fertilizers in Europe use natural gas. They said there was a problem with that. It was reducing their food productivity by 50%, and that prices would be higher and that there would be some starvation, but they were going to reduce the carbon by doing that. We have people who are so intent upon saving the environment that they are ruining the people that they're trying to save the environment for. And the reason that this should be of interest to us is because in Exodus, if you'd like to be turning over there now, chapter 20 and verse 13, God spoke these words saying, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." When you get to these agendas, when you get to all these points, one of the things that you will notice, if you're attentive, is that there is zero mention of God. There is no acknowledgement of God. As a matter of fact, with these worldwide groups, who not only the nations have signed on to, but over 1,000 major corporations have signed on to doing these things, they believe in Mother Earth. They believe that the earth is sacred and that it needs to be taken care of. By the way, Christians believe that the earth is something that needs to be taken care of. This is not something we're opposed to. You remember the command that Adam was given in the garden? He was to take care of the garden. God's people have always had God's environment, God's nature in mind, and we try and take care of it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about harming people in order to take more and more power until the point where it becomes a god. In our school systems, you can talk about evolution. Now, in Happy Texas, you can talk about God. As a matter of fact, many of our teachers whom we should commend do talk about God. But that's the exception rather than the rule. Most schools, as long as you don't mention God, you're okay. And if you do, it better be taking his name in vain or you're in trouble. And we have turned the environment, we have turned the world, we have turned people into our God. And we've stopped acknowledging God. After mentioning it would be a good idea to go to those things, four things happened yesterday that I would like just to mention to give you an example. I got a new credit card yesterday. The old one was replaced because there was some fraud on it. And on that, the Bank of America said, "Investing in a greener tomorrow." The enclosed card is made from recycled plastic. Our new cards are made from 80% recycled materials and will reduce more than 235 tons of single use of plastic eventually, is what it says, or annually, excuse me. I didn't realize how heavy they were. After meeting our carbon neutrality goal in 2019, a year ahead of schedule, we set a goal of achieving net zero before 2050. Then I opened up my electric bill. It came over on the internet, and there was a video with my electric bill. And in the video, it was telling me why my electric bill was going to be higher. And they were talking about all sorts of different things, and they just kind of mentioned as an aside that 10% of it was because of an increase that they had in their production. This despite the fact that our electricity comes from natural gas, and natural gas is selling at one of its lowest levels since I have been alive, and yet they have raised it again. Why are they doing that? And the answer is, in Texas, they've started building windmills. They've started doing other things to try and supplement that. And these things don't work when the wind's not blowing. Solar does not work very well when it's 20 degrees outside. And so in order to build these things to become carbon neutral, they're raising the bills. Well, that's the second thing that happened. The third thing that happened was I came across an article or a video, a news story on the Bank of International Settlements. And the Bank of International Settlements with the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, which I realize we're getting into the weeds now, but it's the central bank of central bankers, said we're going to try and we're doing right now to develop a central bank digital currency. Well, what they're doing is they want one thing, one ledger that all of our money goes into, no matter what country you live in, and then they're going to assign you tokens for all of your money, and they're going to decide whether you have spent too much money on, say, gas or ammunition or anything like that. And if you have, they're going to not let you spend your money on these things. Well, they haven't done it yet, but this is what they say they are planning on doing. This is not a controversy, or not a, what do they call that, a conspiracy theory. This is just what they say they're doing. And then the fourth thing, oh, by the way, on the electric bill, they said this. One of the things that might be increasing your electricity is your refrigerator or your freezer. We will be glad to come and, if as long as they're working, we'll be glad to come and take them away and recycle them for you for free. And we'll give you a $50, I bet you will. But the fourth thing was a deal on a news story from the White House, where they are looking into reducing sunshine. They didn't say they were doing it. They just said they were going to look into reducing sunshine in order to reduce the harmful effects of global warming. Now, what's all this got to do with anything? And this is just it. When God says, "You shall have no other gods before me," there comes a point where we read the word and we trust the word. And God has spoken about certain things. One of the things that he has spoken about is the fact that there will be no such thing as a time when there's no winter or summer. And that's what they are warning us against. But Genesis, if you turn over there. Chapter 8 and verse 21. This is after Noah got off the ark. The Lord smelled the soothing aroma. The Lord said to himself, "I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing, as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." Either this is 100% accurate or it's 100% wrong. In Psalms chapter 74, verse 16, "Yours is the day. Yours also is the night. You have prepared the light and the sun. You have established all the boundaries of the earth. You have made summer and winter. Remember this, O Lord, that the enemy has reviled and a foolish people has spurned your name." When we spurn the principles that God has set within this world, whether we think we can really take them away or not, doesn't really matter. When we try to adjust them, people suffer because of that. When you teach a godless evolution and you teach people that they just happened as a result of some kind of cosmic accident, you can do anything. You can convince people anything is right. What could possibly be wrong with homosexuality if you were just part of a cosmic accident? What could possibly be wrong with teaching your child that they can be a girl, even if they're a boy, if they want to be, and you'll help give them the surgeon? Did you know that in California, that their House of Representatives just passed a bill saying that any parent that does not affirm their child's preferred identity, including getting them the surgeries that are needed, are going to be labeled as a child abuser and punished for that. It's now going to the Senate and to the governor to sign. What happens when you reject God's precepts and you start doing it on your own? Anything goes. If we're a result of a cosmic accident, it doesn't matter. The only morals that there are, the only standards, are whatever you say they are, whatever society says they are. But God says differently. The one who created man and woman says differently. He is the one who determines right and wrong, not men. He has promised us that summer and winter will not end. We don't have to worry about that. Do we take care of the environment? I hope we do. I don't know anybody here that delights in polluting the air or the water. We're not talking about that. We're saying that the air and the water is our new God, and that there is no other God other than that. And when we do that, regardless of our desire to end child poverty and to end whatever it is we want to end, we end up exacerbating these things. You cannot mock God, go outside of his precepts, and expect good things to happen. And that's what's happening right now. God put it this way in Romans chapter 1. In verse 20, since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made so that they are without excuse. These scientists that have decided that the world just happened over a period first of hundreds of millions of years and then billions, because they didn't think hundreds of millions was nearly enough, and whatever it is today, they're without excuse. What God is saying is, even though we may think we're approaching these things intelligently, we are not acting from wisdom. As a matter of fact, not only are we stupid, but our stupidity is so severe that when we go before God on Judgment Day, that's not an excuse. We have to understand the difference between God's will and what men are saying. Verse 21, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God nor give thanks, but their thinking became futile in their speculations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of a corruptible man and the birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. They started worshiping nature. Therefore, verse 24, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. Their women exchanged their natural function for that which is unnatural. This is God who defines what's natural and unnatural. In the same way, men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another. Men with men committing indecent acts, receiving in their own perversions the due penalty of their error, their sin. It doesn't matter that modern men have decided that love is love is love. God has defined what's acceptable and what's not. And if we go outside of that, even though 95% of society will praise us for that, we're without excuse. So verse 28 says, just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God. It goes on, verse 32 says, they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice these things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. Well, I may not be doing it, but boy, who am I to say what you're doing is wrong? And the answer is, you are nobody to say what anybody does is wrong. But God is God. And it is by His authority that He defines good and evil. There's a movie that just came out. It's called Sound of Liberty. It's about the $150 billion industry that is child trafficking, where children are taken and used for what you can imagine that they're taken and used for. Hollywood wouldn't touch this with a 10-foot pole. They disagree with the idea that being abusive towards children in that way is abusive. So it had to be privately funded. The theaters had to be contracted individually to be asked, can you open this up? We'll pay you this much. And so if you call up and you get a ticket in advance, they'll open up certain parts of their theater for you to watch this, but it tells about this industry and this blight upon society that we have of children being misused in a terrible way. Why is that happening? Because God gives them over to degrading passions. God gives them over to a depraved mind. God gives them over to the lust of their heart, to impurity. It's not that He's making them sin. It's because they reject what is sin, and He just says, go your own way then. But it has a consequence. And the reason that we look at these things, as we're looking at right now, and next week I really want to get into the solutions. Defining the problem is never fun, is it? Sorry if it's been offensive in any way, but it is what it is. Next week we're going to look into getting into the solution of the problems. But the point is, Once we reject God as God, whatever we turn to is idolatry. And idolatry always has a penalty, and that penalty always sets upon the most innocent in our society. And it's important for us to wake up in a loving way, take a stand. Do what you can. And again, next week I want to talk about what we can, but I do want to conclude with at least one passage that will help get us started. 1 Timothy chapter 2, last verse we'll look at, and we'll close. Verse 1, first of all, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We can begin by praying for our leaders. We're not praying for wicked people to be blessed in their wickedness. We're praying for them to repent of their wickedness. And if they can't, to be removed from their positions of leadership. It's vital that we do that. Are you praying for our leaders? Are you recognizing the danger and the threat that we have today? It's not just going to cost you in your pocketbook. It's not just going to make you a little more hungry. It's going to cause people to be away from God for all eternity. And we need to start taking righteous, loving stands to make sure that doesn't happen. Invitations open this morning. If you need to respond, please do while we stand and sing.